So I invite you to join with me in a word of prayer as we transition to God's word. Let's pray together. Oh God, your word is good. God, your word is strong. You are faithful. You are true. And Father, as we study your word this morning, open our eyes to what is true and right and good. And Lord, help us to understand what you have for us this morning, that it is your word. And open our eyes to love it and to be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to tell you about something that is important to me. It's trivial, but it's important to me. And the three-letter abbreviation for it is EDC. EDC. And if you don't know what that is, you're probably like most Americans, not knowing what that is. EDC stands for Everyday Carry. Everyday Carry. And what specifically that means is it is a knife. It is an everyday carry knife. And this year for Christmas, my wife got me this new knife. And that's something that I even wear it while I preach, as you can see. It's something that I wear all the time. And this one was an upgrade to my previous knife that I everyday carried. They had completely redesigned the knife, and they put magnets in it so that it's magnetic and it flips and it's fancy. And all of the tools and things are on the outside that you can access with one hand. So it's a new and improved. The screwdrivers, the blades, everything is on the outside. And it's all one-handed and accessible through one hand, whereas the other one you had to open up and you had to dig it out with your fingernail and things like that. And it was the problem that I had was I was having a hard time getting some of the tools out because they were kind of getting stuck with grit and grime in the little gears in there, whatever they call them in there. This was a new and improved version of my Leatherman everyday carry. A new and improved version of my everyday carry. And as I think about a new and improved, as I mentioned earlier in the service, as I was reading through Joshua this week, I noticed a couple of things. And that's what I'd like to share about this morning in our study of Joshua. So if you have your Bible, please open up to the book of Joshua. We'll have some of the verses on the screen this morning. But I would like for you to have your word ready and study. And this week as you're reading, and last week as you're thinking about what you read last week, the book of Joshua is where we are. So we're going to begin, though. Let me remind you that we're in the year to bless someone in 2021. And I hope that, we've been in some crazy situations over the last year. I hope that you found a way to bless somebody. Whatever way, if it's time and investment, if you're showing certain care, if you are filling the need or gap for somebody, look for ways you can bless somebody. The people you live with, your neighbors, the people you go to church with, the people you work with, the people at your school. However you can do that, bless someone in 2021. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 1. This is our theme verse for the year, that God has so richly blessed us and we are blessing others. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Y'all, we've been so blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. May we return that blessing unto others. Last week was one of my favorite messages that I've had in a while. And I really loved breaking down loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength, and how Jesus gave us that command. I loved it. It was something that I learned some things from, and let me remind you of the words that we learned. Heart, meaning love God with all of your desire, all of your want, all of what you want to do should be pleasing God and loving God. Secondly, all of your soul, and that is all of your breathing creature, and that is how we love God. Remember, the word was from Genesis 2:7. God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils, and the man became a soul, a living creature. And it's interesting when you look back at the Titanic and the sinking of the Titanic, you know what they say? They say that so many souls were killed that day. And they used to talk about how many souls were on board of an airplane or a ship. It's changed a little bit today, but that's the idea. How many breathing creatures? We love God with all of our aliveness is the way that we put it. With all of our aliveness. We're not a piece of wood. We are an alive thing that does things and lives. Let's love God with all of our living. With all of our strength. We looked at this coming from Genesis 1:31. God saw everything was good, and behold, it was very good. And we said, love God with all of our veriness, all of our exceedingness, the extra effort we give, and then some. We love God with all of our and then some, or our extra effort. What does it take for you to give extra effort unto the Lord? Are you giving extra effort unto the Lord? Are you just giving your what it takes to get by effort? That's a challenge for every one of us. Are we doing things the best that we can for the Lord? That's loving God with all of our miod, all of our strength, and with all of our mind. And this is the one that Jesus added, with all of our mental effort. You know, it takes mental effort to do everything, but are we focusing on the Lord? Do we have a desire to understand him more? That's why Bible reading and all of these things are so important. Prayer, our focus upon God. Are we loving him? Y'all, I loved it. I loved learning and digging into that Shema, to that message. All right, let's move forward this week into Joshua. And let me introduce Joshua to you a little bit. Joshua is it's a fantastic book. It's a narrative. It flows. It's a story. You can read it. There are battles. There are failures. There are victories. There is drama. There is irony. All of the things that you would expect in a good read, Joshua has. And what a great book for us to learn and to grow in. And as I'm reading it, and as you're reading it, I want you to think about something here. And that is this. Joshua is set forth as an important character, and let me read the introduction, and I want to share a few things you might not have thought about before as you read. So I'm going to read the first 9 verses of Joshua to introduce it, and then we're going to break it down a little bit. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over to the Jordan, you and all of this people, into the land that I am giving them to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from to the right or to the left, that you might have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you might be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that was a lengthy introduction, but it gives the idea of the passing on from the Lord that was given in Moses that is now given to Joshua. And we're going to focus on three things today about the book of Joshua, and three things that Joshua was given to do. And I'll go ahead and I'll spoil the message for you a little bit. And this is the way it's going to work out, so think about it a little bit. This is the grand overview. Joshua was the better Moses, and Jesus was the better Joshua. That's the working. I told you about my knife. I've got a new knife. The best-selling Wave knife has been replaced by this P4 knife. Moses is replaced by a better Joshua, and Joshua is replaced by a better Jesus. So here we go. Let's break that down. The first thing I want to focus on is this. Joshua is called to lead the people into the promised land. Joshua is called to lead the people into the promised land. Look in verse 2 of chapter 1. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. All right, this is the way that God has given Joshua the land. Arise, go over here, and I'm giving this land, and he's going to do it battle by battle by battle by battle. Anybody remember the first battle that Joshua faced going into the promised land? Any of my family remember? What's the first battle that Joshua faced going into the promised land? I'll give you a hint. They didn't fight with swords. They fought with... There you go. Say it.
Jericho.
Jericho. Good, Hannah. Jericho. They didn't fight with swords. They fought with trumpets and voices. And the Lord tumbled the city down. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. And there was Rahab and that story. But battle by battle, then they moved on to the next city. And anybody remember that one? It's two letters. Anybody? Allison got it. AI. So what they're giving us is the way in which battle by battle by battle, the Joshua, and through the Lord's power, is taking over. They take over the Amorites. They work in the north. They work in the south. They work in all of these people. Battle by battle, conquering one by one. They expand the kingdom. They expand the kingdom. And they take over the promised land. Now, the writer is laboring to tell us, look, the Lord is fulfilling the promise he's given to Abraham. And he said that in the verses we read, the promises that were given to those even before Moses, and the promise that was re-given to Moses. God is fulfilling this promise of expanding his people in their place and giving them the land. Now, that ought to sound somewhat familiar to you. Because if you remember the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, he also said that the kingdom of heaven is like a little bit of leaven put in the dough that works itself through. Do you see that there's a parallel between Joshua and between Jesus? Jesus also told us the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. When you plant it, it grows into this giant tree that's able to support birds and such, but it's from a little bitty seed. Jesus is the better Joshua. But let me back up one little bit and share with you something else. What else? Another thing the author of Joshua is trying to do is trying to show us throughout that Joshua is a better Moses. Let me give you some illustrations of that. Remember, Moses had his burning bush moment. Y'all remember that? Moses had a burning bush. He walked up, bush starts talking. Well, remember when Joshua begins to enter the promised land, he meets somebody too. Who does he meet? He meets an angel of the Lord, and Joshua asks him, whose side are you on? Are you on my side or are you on their side? And he said, no, I'm on the Lord's side. That was the angel of the Lord talking to him. They both had their moment, but Joshua had the angel of the Lord himself face to face, saw him. Now, remember Moses sent spies into the promised land, and they came back and they gave a bad report. Well, Joshua also, if you remember in the book, in Joshua, he sends spies into the land and they come back with a favorable report. Moses, in Joshua, it tells us Moses didn't keep circumcision up. Right, that was the sign of the covenant between God and man. He didn't even circumcise his own son. His wife had to fuss at him for not doing it. And then we get to Joshua and we find out that the generation raised up, they weren't circumcised. So Joshua comes in and he's faithful to keeping circumcision, the sign of the covenant. Moses crosses the Red Sea. Well, Joshua crosses the split wide open Jordan. Moses' people disobeyed God. Joshua's people obey God and drive out the people of the land. Moses leads them to the promised land, but because of Moses' disobedience, he doesn't get to enter. Joshua, because of his obedience, gets to see the fullness of the promised land. Joshua is a new and improved Moses. But lest we get too big on Joshua, it's important for us to remember, none of the people in the Bible are the true heroes. The true heroes of the Bible, the true hero of the Bible is God himself. And that is why we look at Jesus to say, Jesus, who bears the same name as Joshua. Y'all know that Jesus' Hebrew name is Yeshua. Well, that's the same. That's what they would have called Joshua, Yeshua. The same name, and that name means salvation. Many of you know that. Jesus is put forth as the better Joshua, the one who brings his people to the promised land and battle by battle brings us to victory, not over the Amorites, not over the Canaanites, but over Satan himself and his kingdom. Do you understand that? Do you get that? Jesus, by his Spirit in us, is fighting the battles that we face. Jesus is overcoming the power of darkness by the strength of the power of light. Jesus is our commander. And as we sing the hymn, I'm reminded of the hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching as to War, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe, forward onto battle, see his banner go. It is Jesus carrying the banner that Christ is Savior, Christ is Lord, that we follow, church. And we fight spiritual battles, not physical battles. And we cast out the power of darkness through the power of the gospel. Remember, there are people in darkness and in chains and in bondage to sin. But the message of Jesus, that Jesus died, was buried, was raised to new life to give victory over death, that is the battle. And so, Christian, we carry the banner of Jesus saves to the world of the lost. If you're with us this morning online and you are not a follower of Jesus, if you are not a Christian soldier, if you have never repented of your godless, sinful lifestyle, if you have never put your faith in Jesus to save you from the wrath of God that is upon you for your sin, I invite you this morning. You are doomed to hell apart from Jesus Christ. Come and be saved. Come and be saved in Jesus Christ. Jesus saves sinners, and he saves sinful sinners. There's nothing too sinful for you to be saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come and be saved. Christian, Now, let me read just to you to remind you that Jesus is our Savior and our captain in our battle. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then comes the end when Jesus delivers the kingdom of God, kingdom to God the Father, after, you hear it? After destroying every rule and every authority and every power. We are Christian soldiers in the battle where Jesus is using us to destroy every rule and every authority and every power. And look, y'all, those are spiritual terms. Every rule, authority, and power, that's not talking about political parties. This is talking about spiritual realities. Spiritual realities. And we must be faithful to proclaim the truth, not just sit around. Christian, do not sit around waiting for the pastor to do the spiritual work of the church. That is not my job. Let me say that again. It's not my job. My job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, according to Ephesians and the scripture, the word of God. It is to equip you to fight spiritual battles on the battlefield, that we might, like Joshua, march into battle carrying the banner of Jesus is Lord to a lost and dying world and stand for what is true and right. It's not just truth in 2020, it's truth in 2021 as well. Jesus is the new and improved Yeshua. Secondly, Joshua is called to be strong and courageous and obedient. Did you see it right there in chapter 1, verse 7 and 8? Yeshua is called to be strong, courageous, and obedient. Look at what it says. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right to the... Turn from it to the right or the left, that you might have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you might, watch this, be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Joshua is called to obedience, to obeying God's commands. How important is this in the Christian life? Well, it's very important. We looked at last week the commandments of God. Love God, love your neighbors, yourself. But commandments were very much an overflow of being a Christian. And this is what the Lord has told to Joshua specifically. Obey the commands. Joshua chapter 11, verse 15 says it this way: just as the Lord God commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua. And so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Do you see that? Do you see that Joshua was the faithful servant of the Lord? Not only was he called to bring them into the promised land, he was called to be a faithful captain, a faithful leader. And this is exactly, the author of Hebrews, in fact, calls Jesus the founder or the captain of our faith, that he learned or he became perfect through his obedience. And I don't have this verse, unfortunately, for you, but I just thought about it. The Lord Jesus was made perfect through his obedience. And this is exactly what happened through Joshua. Watch this. Remember, the story of Joshua is really the story of Jesus in a lesser way. He's pointing us to Jesus. Here's what Jesus did. Remember what Jesus prayed? Twice. Twice he prayed it. Matthew chapter 6. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. You see it? Lord, I want your will to be done. Not my will. I want your will to be done. Not my human fleshly desires, but I want your will to be done on heaven or on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus praying, God, let your will be done. Let your commands be done. Let your desires be done. And then Jesus prayed it a second time. Matthew 26. Again, for the second time, this is Jesus in the garden. He went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. I will die, Lord. I want your will to be done." While Joshua was obedient to everything he was called to do through Moses, Jesus was perfectly obedient to everything God called Jesus to do. And it's through his perfection that we have access unto God, and that he does not look at us in his wrath, but in his love. So let me share that again with you. If you're with us and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the reason that God can love us and look at us with joy and not in his wrath is because Jesus perfectly fulfilled what God asked him to do. Look what else Paul says it this way. "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus is the new and improved Joshua. Third. So Jesus is the new and improved Joshua because he brings us into the promised land. He conquers our enemy. He presents the kingdom unto God, the perfect kingdom. Yes, that's us. We're in the kingdom. We are taking over the land through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is us that is marching as to war. You are a servant of God. Secondly, Jesus was obedient. Jesus perfectly did everything God asked him to do, even in a better way than Joshua. And thirdly, Joshua was called to point people to remember the Lord their God, or the Lord his God. Now, as you notice right in the beginning of Joshua, we see them crossing over the Jordan. If you remember, does anybody remember what they did right when they crossed over Jordan? The Jordan River splits in half. The Ark of the Covenant leads them through. They walk through and they make something on the other side of the Jordan. Anybody remember what they make? They make a monument unto the Lord. I believe it's 12 stones there, and they put the 12 stones up, and that is a monument for them to remember. Now, as you're reading this week, or as you have read, you probably noticed after lots of battles, they use these stones to make monuments. They destroy Jericho. They cover it with stones. They destroy and burn Ai. They cover it with stones. They fight the five kings. They trap the five kings in a cave that are trying to attack Joshua. And they cover the cave with stones as a way of remembering it. Joshua chapter 4. And those 12 stones, which they took out of the Jordan. Here's the 12 stones out of the Jordan. Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, "When your children asks their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the people of the earth may know. So that all of the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." Why are those stones there? So that the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, this is good. Do you remember God? Do you have stone markers in your life in some ways to remember God? That's exactly what Joshua did. He wanted people to remember God, to not only the peoples of the earth, but the peoples of Israel, to remember that God is mighty and that we need to fear God. I've told you, Jesus is the better Joshua. I've told you, Jesus is the better Joshua. What else did Joshua do, though? Joshua, in chapter 10, he also did it not just by stones. He did it by miracles. Joshua chapter 10, let me read another one to you. So Joshua came upon them suddenly. And this is in a battle, having marched up that night from Gilgal. And the Lord threw them into a panic before Israel, who struck them with a great blow at Gibeon and chased them by the way of the ascent of Beth Horon and struck them as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And the other army fled before Israel while they were going down the ascent of Beth Horon. The Lord threw down large stones from heaven on them. So Joshua's in a battle. This is the time when the sun stops in the sky. Joshua prays and the Lord stops the sun in the sky for him to finish the battle. And not only that, the Lord throws down giant stones on the other army. This is a miracle. These things don't happen. Sun stops in the sky. Stones are falling from the sky on the other army. And look what the scripture says in verse 11. There were more who died because of the hailstones than the sons of Israel killed with the sword. Miracle. And that time Joshua spoke to the Lord, and the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jashar? The sun stopped in the midst of the heaven and did not hurry to set for the whole day. There has been no day like it before since, when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Isn't this amazing? Joshua had a miracle. So not only does he show the Lord by these monuments, he shows the Lord through miracles. And like I said earlier, but Jesus is the better Joshua. This is an amazing miracle. The sun stops in the sky. Hailstones fall and kill that army, not this army. Amazing miracle. But Jesus is the better Joshua. Now, you can remember Jesus and his ministry, can't you? Don't you remember the things that Jesus did in his ministry? How he opened the eyes of the blind, how he made the lame to walk, and they would bring all the sick and afflicted to him, and he would heal them. Jesus did great miracles. Let me give you one example of one. John chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. And as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered him, it was not this man that sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Let me give you just a thought. While Jesus was here on earth, in some ways the sun stood still. Jesus, the Son of God, was filling this world with light while the miracles of God were displayed. Jesus healed the lame. He healed this blind man here. He put the saliva, talks about in verse 6 and 7, put the saliva on the man's eyes, tells him to go wash, and the man can see. Jesus miraculously, as verse 3 has right here, that the works of God might be displayed in him. Y'all, this was a special season and time when Jesus our Lord was here on earth, and the sun stood still. It was clear and as plain as day who God was. And Jesus is the new and improved Joshua. Now, that's a lot to say. And I want to close out this morning and give you a bit of personal application from this. Y'all, this is beautiful. Joshua was the better Moses. Jesus is the better Joshua. What does this mean for us today? Well, it means a few things. One is we need to get off of our comfortable seats and we need to be about kingdom work. Whatever you're doing, may it be for the kingdom of God. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your aliveness, your desire, your mind, your understanding, your strength, your effort, your veriness. We are kingdom soldiers. Onward, Christian soldiers, may we go out and battle for the kingdom of God. It's going to hurt. It's going to cost us something. That's what battle does. But God has given us His Spirit to equip us for kingdom work. Are you giving your effort? Are you working hard? Is it costing you something? And if it's not, if your Christianity is not costing you anything, then something is not right. And we have things that God gives us to enjoy, and we do that. But if it doesn't cost you something, if you can't say, if I weren't doing this, life would be easier. And this meaning your Christian service, then something is not right. Jesus did not call us to live in the palace right now. He has called us to a life of following Him and doing kingdom work. So may I say with all due respect, Christian, get off of the couch and get onto the battlefield. Jesus has called us to be part of the kingdom army. May we be soldiers for Him. It is not easy to be a Christian. And it must cost us something, or it's not true Christianity. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Paul reminded Timothy of this. He said, "No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits." You are not a civilian, Timothy. You are a soldier in the Lord's army, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Our aim as Christian soldiers is not to please ourselves or anybody around us, but to be faithful and pleasing unto our God. Can I read that again? The soldier's aim is to please the one who enlisted him, to please his Lord, his commander, his chief. You know, we used to teach our kids songs like I'm in the Lord's Army and Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho and songs that talked about battle and us being Christians. And now we sing songs and they're all over the radio of how God wants us to have everything we want. And the Christian radio waves are filled with these. Something has happened. America has taken over. The American dream has taken over of it's all about us. It's not. We are soldiers. Now, this is convicting for me, and it should be for all of us. We're in the Lord's army. What are we doing? What are we doing? Let's fight. Let's give. Let's do things as a church. So let me give you a church application here too. Y'all, what can we do as a church? What can we do as a church with our resources, with our money, with our time to proclaim and do kingdom work? We need to be thinking of that, church. What can you do? What can you sacrifice for the kingdom? Think about that, church. Think about that. We need to unite as a church and do something. What can we do? Let me close with this final verse and say this. Praise be to God. We strive for the kingdom of God as Joshua strove to battle for the promised land. We are battling for the kingdom of God. And the author of Hebrews, just love it. Hebrews is such a good book. The author of Hebrews tells us this. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Y'all, the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. As you go about your week, you are in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us therefore offer to God acceptable worship with reverence, with fear, with awe. We are in his kingdom. So Christian, let's go about kingdom work this week. What can you do today? What can you do tomorrow to carry out God's kingdom? Do it with reverence, with fear, with awe, and do it as an act of worship. Let's pray together. Father, as we pray this morning, we ask, O God, for you to save souls, to transform souls, to make people new. Lord, we also ask for you to use us in your kingdom work, doing what you've called us to do in the kingdom. God, help us. We need you. And help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus rather than focusing on the things that are of our own kingdoms. Let us turn our eyes to the things of Jesus' kingdom. Let us enlist ourselves to being part of the Lord's army. And God, use us for kingdom purposes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Come to our time of response. If you need to respond, I invite you to respond to what the Lord is calling you to do. If it be salvation, come and be saved. Pray to the Lord. Lord, save me from my sin. I repent of my sin. I change. I want to come to you, Lord. And if it be Christian that you have fallen into a civilian lifestyle, Lord, enlist me. Put me in the battle for the kingdom. However you need to respond, you respond to what the Lord has called you to do.